We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So we're talking fall drinks. One of our listeners texted in Fireball and apple cider?
Yeah, Fireball and apple cider. I've seen people do that before, maybe with a hard cider even, if you want to take it up a notch.
Oh, man.
That's dangerous.
It's kind of a cry for help.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll ease into that. Just curious, Senator Tina Smith is taking time out of her busy schedule. And Senator, we have to start this interview by asking, what is your favorite fall drink, alcoholic or non-alcoholic?
What is my favorite fall drink? I was unprepared for that question, Paul Douglas.
Well, what do you normally drink?
You know, I have to tell you right now, a margarita sounds pretty good. I don't know if that's a fall drink or not.
Oh, that's year-round, yeah.
Right, you know, or, I mean, to go to the other extreme, I think a nice spicy chai tea sounds kind of good, too.
Oh, that works. Yeah, we're sipping.
What do you think?
We're sipping pumpkin cream cold brews, which are hitting the spot. Seriously caffeinated. Hey, I appreciate you joining us. And I'm encouraged because most Americans, latest number I saw, 3 out of 4, now acknowledge the climate is warming. It's the result of carbon emissions, man-made emissions, deforestation. Your clean electricity plan, why now?
Well, we can see, if we didn't know it already, that the status quo is completely unsustainable. We saw this in Minnesota all summer long. But, you know, it's not only unsustainable for our planet, it's not sustainable for our economy or for our health. And that's where the clean electricity program comes in. You know, I think that a clean energy future is going to happen. And the question is whether we are leading that charge or whether we end up following. And then we miss the opportunity, not to mention the other challenges that we'll continue to pay for. So that's why I think now this is what Americans want. Businesses know it's good business. It says we're going to take our power sector, the utilities that make the lights go on, and we're going to move that power sector to 80% clean power in 10 years. And it's doable. It will save us money in the long run, and our strategy is going to get us there.
So the question regarding timing, and one of the things, and most people I talk to say, yeah, it's inevitable. Clean energy makes sense. Why wouldn't we harvest free energy and find ways to take advantage of that? Less pollution, cleaner air pollution, less climate warming. Some people, though, think this is going to be a tax. How do we make sure that consumers don't see their costs going up to keep the lights on?
Well, that has been a real worry for other proposals for reducing our carbon emissions. And in fact, they have been taxes. They were called a carbon tax. And the problem is that who ends up paying that is it's families or businesses. And then that ends up raising prices for everyone. So what we do with the Clean Electricity Plan is we say we're going to take federal dollars and we're going to help utilities add clean power to their mix faster than they were going to do it otherwise, because we don't have a lot of time to waste. And what they're going to do is to take those dollars and it's going to go directly to utility ratepayers, to families and to businesses, so that their power costs, their utility bills, don't go up. And this is, I think, the innovation of what we're doing here, because we're saying, yes, we need to add clean power. That's a short-term investment that's going to pay long-term dividends, and we don't want utility ratepayers to be paying that cost in the short run. And that's so, in fact, it's the opposite of a tax. It helps to keep your utility rates stable while we're moving into this clean energy future.
Senator, what are you hearing from Minnesota Utilities?
Well, I've been in close touch with Minnesota Utilities. And, you know, as you no doubt know, we have big investor-owned utilities in Minnesota like Xcel. But we also have a lot of co-ops that are important energy providers in rural parts of the state. And then we have municipal utilities, too. And what I hear is they know and they want to move to more clean energy. They know that that's good for business. It's what their customers want. And they're, you know, they're very open to this idea and want to work with us on making sure that the details work for them and for their communities. And one of the things I hear from them, you know, a lot of times when you have this kind of a national plan, it's sort of a one size fits all. Everybody gets treated the same way. And that's not what we're doing here. We're saying every utility starts from where they are and then they improve from there. So if you're a co-op in, you know, central Minnesota and you are only using about, you know, you're only using about eight, you know, say, you know, 20% renewable energy, that's okay. Then you add from there. And if you are Xcel Energy and you're already at, you know, way farther along, then you still have to add. So it's it gives a lot of flexibility to individual utilities and gives them flexibility too, because we say clean power can be hydro, it could be nuclear, it could be wind and solar, it could be carbon capture, which is, I think, a real opportunity for us down the road.
Senator Smith, I'm an avowed capitalist. I acknowledge market forces and competition is good. I'm just curious to get your thoughts on the record about West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, who was quoted as saying the transition is happening. Now they're wanting to pay companies to do what they're already doing. Makes no sense to me at all for us to take billions of dollars, pay utilities for what they're going to do as the market transitions. That's what he said. I mean, the markets are already moving in this direction simply because of cost. Wind, solar, energy storage, consistently cheaper, certainly compared to coal and increasingly with natural gas. Is this sense of urgency flavored by the idea that we have to go faster?
Yes, that's exactly right, Paul. And, you know, I talk with Senator Manchin almost every day, and he has questions that, you know, that he wants to be answered. But I'll tell you on this question, we are absolutely not paying utilities to do what they are already doing, because, as you say, we have to move faster than they are adding clean power. If we, you know, stay on the path that they are on, it's going to take too long. And it also is going to add cost to utility ratepayers. So again, what we're trying to do is to keep costs low for families. And, you know, I think about Minnesota businesses too, where energy prices, of course, in Minnesota, where we have such a, you know, thank God we still have winter, you know, people's energy prices, costs go up in the wintertime. And so we feel that more than you might feel it in other parts of the country. So no, we're not paying them to do what they would have done otherwise. We're paying them to move faster and to do that in a way that keeps utility rates stable.
Last question, Senator, and thank you again for carving out some time.
Yeah.
When I talk to people, they acknowledge that things are warming up and that the weather is weirder than ever. The patterns are changing. But I think all of us innately as human beings are resistant to change, to making sacrifices. You know, there's still this perception that, oh, my God, we're going to have to all become vegetarians and pedal rickshaws to work and live in a yurt. What do you say to people who are resistant of change in general? How do you sell this to them?
Well, I say two things to them. The first is that what we are doing right now is costing us a bundle of money. Over the last 5 years, we've spent, on average, $121 billion a year to clean up after extreme weather events, disaster relief, and so forth. And that's a lot of money, but it's especially a lot of money when you think that it was more like $18 billion a year in the 1980s. And if we don't do anything, these costs are only going to get worse. They're not going to get better. And what does it mean for, you know, regular folks? It means higher insurance premiums. It means declining values for your real estate or for your farmland. It means higher health care costs because of pollution. And here's the thing that I think people really need to understand. This is the second thing. If we don't lead on this, somebody else is going to take the reins. Somebody else is going to be the ones that that create the supply chains for wind turbines. They're going to be the ones that figure out how we deploy clean hydrogen at to scale. They're going to be the ones that figure out how we do carbon capture and storage. And that's going to be less opportunity, less jobs, less innovation, less technology leadership in the United States. And that's going to hurt our economy, and it's going to hurt jobs, and it's going to hurt rural communities. In some ways, you could argue, the worst, because clean power is rural power, and that's where this opportunity can really be built if we do it right.
Somebody put it this way to me. They said, look, we've privatized the profits, and we've socialized the costs, right? Mm-hmm. We're all paying a cost. We're paying more for insurance, as you just mentioned, because of these supersized weather systems that are spiked by this warmer, wetter climate, and even the droughts. You know, the dry periods are drier as well. Senator Smith, thank you for the update, and good luck. Keep us posted.
I will, and I appreciate the chance to talk with you again. Take care.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.